been about 2.5 years now, 2.5 years that the former Kmart over here a couple blocks to our east at the Magic City Plaza has sat empty, but no longer. Many of you have read the press release that a new Mark's store will occupy the old Kmart space. And that's good news for our community. There will be new jobs provided there. There will be income taxes for the city of Barberton and more shopping opportunities for those who live locally, who walk to shop or drive short distances, take a bus to shop. It will be right there and provide more opportunities. Well, I have more good news. Over the last 2 years, I have been, if you will, chirping to the city leaders of Barberton about the rugged condition of our alleyway here on the south side of the church next to the parking lot. And I guess sometimes the squeaky wheel does get the oil. This week I confirmed with the Barberton Street Department that our alleyway is slated to be completely repaved and resurfaced sometime this year. Please do not hold your breath. But Easter of 2023, we will drive in on smooth pavement. I think. But there's more good news. One of the senior scouts in our church-sponsored Boy Scout troop has chosen as an Eagle Scout project to bring in loads of mulch and concrete and dozens of laborers to dress up the east side of the building that so many see as they travel down 6th Street or come in and out of the library or walk around our beautiful park here at Lake Anna. This side of the building gets a lot of views. People see that as that's the Presbyterian Church. That side of the building is going to be dressed up a little bit, if you will. And all of this will cost the church nothing. Those three examples that I mentioned speak of new life. The retail space over here that's repurposed, the new paving that will take place here on our church alleyway, and dressing up what is the view of our church for many in our community. But you and I both know, though those are examples of very good news, they're not life-altering news. Very pleasant to hear, hooray! But not life-altering. Life-altering news, we know, is when you receive happy medical news that loved one, you will get to enjoy their presence for many more months or years. Life-altering news is the addict who chooses again today to avoid their personal demon. Life-altering news is making the decision to spend time with that child in your family who desperately needs your love, your affection, your attention, your wisdom. Each of those is an example of a very small group, family group, or an individual who is affected positively. But on this holy day, we celebrate life-altering news for all time and all creation. Now, I know it's life-altering news because this has been the holiest of holy days for now almost 2,000 years. And you and I both know how quickly fame fades and new trends emerge by the week or by the day. If you follow Twitter and Instagram, the latest fad of the day, you've got to get on board. But Easter is still here. I saw how clearly and quickly fame is challenged as I watched a little bit of the Masters golf tournament last weekend from Augusta, Georgia. While one player was clearly the best over the course of the weekend, it was painful to listen to the announcers fantasize about this big rally that Tiger Woods was going to make and come back on Saturday and Sunday and shoot like he did 23 years ago. I believe that Tiger, I think I'm right in saying the final score ended up that Tiger was about 23 shots behind the winner of the tournament. Now, in terms that I could understand, that would be like the Cleveland Indians. Wait, back up. That would be like a baseball team in Cleveland called the Cleveland Guardians, welcoming the New York Yankees to town and beating them 30-0. I mean, I'd love to see it, but Tiger was completely out of contention. There was no hope he was going to win that. Yet he was still the subject of 50% of the airtime that I watched. Well, look, Tiger's got something on his finger. Oh, there's something on his toe. Look out, he's got a little dirt on his heel. Maybe he'll come back. Keep watching. Don't tune out yet. Well, 100 years from now, the number of people conversing about Tiger Woods will be about the same as those today frequently discussing the exploits of Jim Thorpe, who was, as some of you recall, the perhaps greatest athlete in the 20th century. Certainly, he's been named the greatest athlete of the first half of the 20th century. But I don't hear many people talking about Jim Thorpe today, which is to say that Tiger's name will be a distant memory. Oh, in the coming months or years, he may return to form and make a run at some tournaments. But that day last Sunday at the Masters belonged to a younger pro golfer, a committed Christian, who said, after donning the revered green jacket, he said these words, the reason I play golf is because I'm trying to glorify God and all that God has done for me. Scheffler then concluded by saying, my identity isn't a golf score. You see, his identity is found in the risen Christ, who conquered death for all time and for all creation. Years ago, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christian church in Corinth those words I said and spoke earlier. He was saying much the same thing that I just said. He was reminding them that the resurrection of Christ is the first fruits of those who had died. He wrote, for as all who bear mortal bodies will one day die, Paul says, all who have faith in Christ will be made alive again and will live for eternity in the glory of God's kingdom. Now, for you and for me, Jesus overcame the power of death and now reigns for eternity at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Today we rejoice, we give thanks, we offer our praise with the angels for the new life, the everlasting life that is ours in Christ. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because it has stood the test of time. The sacred nature of this day, it's not here today and gone tomorrow like so many fads and trends we might see. As long as there are people on earth, people will talk about the resurrection and worship on this holy day. I also believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because I have experienced it. The followers of Jesus in the first century, you know, they did not believe in the resurrection due to a scholarly treatise. They did not believe in the resurrection due to third-party authentication. The disciples believed because they'd experienced it. One whom they'd known in the flesh, one whom they'd watched die on the cross, was now alive again and among them. I know that I will be forever grateful for a Sunday school teacher I had in the seventh grade. He was so brave to teach a group of ornery, myself included, middle school students in Sunday school. If you've ever taught middle school, nothing against middle schoolers, but I was there once. Tough age. He challenged us one semester to read through the Gospel of John slowly and carefully. He even gave us assignments that some of us actually did to bring back to Sunday school. What does this chapter mean? Or what do you think John's talking about here in the Gospel in chapter whatever? We got through that study of the Gospel of John in that semester in Sunday school, And at the end of the time, he said these words that I'll never forget. He said, if you have faith that the words of John's gospel that we study are accurate and true, and he said, there is no reason, archaeologically, historically, to believe they're not true. But if you believe those words in John's gospel to be accurate and true, what are you going to do about it? Because if you believe, your life will be changed. You will experience new life. You will know what resurrection faith is all about. Now, according to Luke's gospel that Patty read for us, that first Easter Sunday started out nothing like this day. It started out actually as a day of mourning, a day of sorrow. The disciples were grieving. They'd been grieving all night. I doubt any of them had slept in the previous 2 days. You see, they had forgotten Jesus' promise that he would come back to them on the third day. All they knew was that their Lord was dead. They had seen his lifeless body just hanging on the cross before their eyes. So a group of brave women made their way to the tomb early that first Easter, that Sunday morning, to honor the lifeless corpse of Jesus in a very traditional manner, according to their Jewish faith. They were bringing spices and scented ointments, somehow assuming someone would help them move the stone, or all of them could put their backs in, we don't know, but they were there with their ointments and spices to preserve the body of their Lord. But we know the women found the stone rolled away. At the entrance of the tomb sat two men, or two beings, if you will, in dazzling apparel, who asked this question of the women. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Now that is a question I would lovingly and gently like to ask of so many whom I know and love, so many who spend their lives symbolically chasing after dead ends, putting their life and their energy and all of their goals into things that are meaningless in the end, while true life is just a breath away. Why do you seek the living among the dead? The two in radiant garments asked the women. They went on to say, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day, rise again. They heard those words and they remembered. They were overjoyed. Their grief ended. They leapt for joy. They raced back to where the other disciples were and probably shouted at them, he is alive. Easter's message is that we no longer need to fear death. The message is truly one of victory over death and victory in this life. The Christian faith is intended to be a love affair with life. For those who may see a dour or downcast or cheerless attitude about life, please know that is not the sidecar of faith. Not at all. With faith, we are to be joyful. We're to be exuberant. We're to share the good news and have that good news so apparent in our lives that no one can miss it. Moreover, our Christian faith is not simply a set of values or a moral code or a way to live. It is instead the conviction. Our Christian faith is the conviction that all persons matter so much to God that God sent his only begotten Son and gave his life for us so that all may not perish but have life forever in God's kingdom. Easter faith reminds us that our lives are of eternal significance. Now, if you travel around our country, or especially around the world, you will see some lavish monuments built to those who are no longer with us, to those who have died. Think of the monuments around the world that are built to honor the dead. The pyramids of Egypt, built to honor the dead. The Taj Mahal in India, built to honor the dead. Lenin's tomb in Red Square. Chairman Mao's tomb in Tiananmen Square. Even the burial vault at Mount Vernon, Virginia, where the remains of George Washington lay. Now, Jesus' simple tomb could never compare to those costly crypts. Yet Jesus' tomb is superior in the only way that matters. It lies empty. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.